Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Most Merciful. To all of our viewers out there, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, and welcome back again to the intersection of faith and reason with our beloved guest, Dr. Ja'far Sheikh Idris. Dr. Ja'far, it's good to be with you again, sir.
Thank you.
An honor and a pleasure that we've been enjoying for the past previous episodes. Last time we spoke about the Quranic arguments or evidence for the possibility of life after death. One of the fundamentals of Islam is the idea of qada u qadar, which is sometimes translated as foreknowledge and predetermination or destiny or predestination and what have you. And mostly the way people understand this concept is that God knows everything. He planned everything. There is absolutely nothing that you can do about it. So accept it and just deal with it.
There are certain facts mentioned in the Quran. And some people found it difficult to reconcile them. So let us enumerate the facts that relate to this topic. First, that it is God who created the world. And therefore, he knows everything about it.
That's a fact.
Yes. Everything about the present, the past, and the future. So nothing happens in the world without his knowledge.
Including the future as well.
Nothing happens at all in the world without his knowledge.
I'm sorry, Sheikh, but when you say this, you're also including the future in there.
Of course, knowledge.
Before the future takes place.
Yes, because it can't happen without his knowledge.
Okay. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. See, it does not happen without his knowledge.
Without his knowledge. Mm-hmm. Neither does it happen without his will.
Okay.
God is all-knowing. He is willing. He's willful. His will is absolute. Whatever he wills will be the case.
Mm-hmm.
And without his power. So for everything to happen, it happens because God knows that about it, God willed it to happen, and it is God who had the power to make it happen. But according to the Quran also, human beings have knowledge, they have will, and they have power. That is why they are responsible for their willful deeds. If it is not willful, of course, they will not be responsible for it. Now, what is the difference between these attributes as they apply to God and as they apply to human beings? God is all-knowing, but human knowledge is limited.
Sure.
God wills something, it will be the case. فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدٍ Whatever he wills will be the case. But this does not. This is not the case with human beings, as they say in Arabic, يَكُونُ مَا لَا يُرِيدُ وَيُرِيدُ مَا لَا يَكُونُ He can will something, and it doesn't happen, and
he may not wish for
something
thing to happen.
Happens that he doesn't like to happen. And also his power is limited. And anyway, all this is given to him by his creator. As Ibn al-Qayyim expressed, for example, the will, he said, God willed that human beings shall have will. So even the will is given to the human being by God. Now, some people found it difficult to reconcile these.
That we have a will and God has a will?
Has a will. That you have power, he has power. Now, the reconciliation is not difficult. You say, when you do something, you will it. You will it. God has the power to prevent that thing from happening. God does not allow everything that in every human being wills to be the case. Otherwise, there will be a problem in the world. No. But he will be responsible for his will. For his will. Because the will is the most important thing. So there is no problem here. God knows that he willed this, but God prevented it from happening. Even if allows it to happen, also the person will be responsible for the deed. Someone might say, but God knew that I was going to do this, so I had to do it anyway, because God knew that. No. Ibn Abbas is reported to have said something that solves this problem. He says that God created people. He knew what they would do by the will that he gave them. He knew what they will. He told his knowledge to be a book, and it became a book. So everything that is in that book is something which God knew would happen, but his knowledge of its happening is does not contradict the fact that the thing is will and was willed, because Allah knew that Yasir would speak to me now and ask me questions. So the fact that Allah knew that you will do this does not
free me from the responsibility,
and it does not make that you had no will at all. Now, but people, as they were divided in the matter of the attributes of the Creator, they were here also divided. Some people said, emphasize the God's power and will, and therefore they came to the conclusion that no one has power or will or so. But when they are asked, and they say that the actions of human beings are like the movement of the tree. That just as when you say the tree moves, you don't mean that it has a will to move. So the same applies to
human beings.
To human beings. This is the way that they explain the verses in the Quran which attribute will to human beings and hold them responsible for this. They say, oh, this is what it means. Just like God said, جِدَارًا يُرِيدُ أَنْ يَنْقَضُ, a wall that was about to fall. In Arabic it says, intending to fall. So they say that intending here does not mean that the wall has
a will,
a real will. And so this applies even to human beings. There is no will at all. When they are asked, then why does God hold us responsible for something that we had no part in, that we were just made to do? He said, this is God. You can't ask
that's his
him,
will.
You can't ask him why he did this. You are his creation. He does what he likes with you. Now, the group that says that the other extremist group said that yes, we are responsible for our actions. The actions that we make, God does not make them.
Meaning?
So they could not reconcile the fact that the action is willed with the fact that Allah knew about it. So they said, we create our willful actions. God does not create them. And we do not we create our actions, and that's why we are responsible for them, because they wanted to emphasize, the first group wanted to emphasize God's power and will. The second group especially the Mu'tazilites, wanted to emphasize the fact that human beings are willful. So they ended up, just like the first group, denied some of the very clear verses in the Quran, which can be understood to mean that human beings have will. This group emphasized the human will and ended up denying some of the verses that say very clearly that everything is made or does not happen without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everything that happens is the creation of God. Allahu khaliqu kulli shay. They say, when you say we create our own actions, you are saying that there is something which God doesn't create. The third group, which is on the right path, said there is no problem. As I said, the one that he spoke about was this group of the great imams, the great leaders of the Ahl Sunnah. They said there is no contradiction between the two. God has power, has will, and so we have God power and use, but our will and power is within God's power and will.
And that's how they came to reconciliate.
Yes, they reconciled this with that. Some people, and I know someone, I don't want to mention his name, you know him. He's a famous brother now, he's a da'i, but I did my best to convince him that God knows the future, the of willful acts, and he couldn't. He said that if he knows what I am going to do, then I cannot be doing it willfully. Mm-hmm. And I tried. I did my best to tell him that there is no contradiction between the two. Your action is willful. God knew
that you were going.
How can he not know that this action is going to be willfully made by so and so and so at such and such a particular time?
Sheikh, when we come back, it sounded to me like some people are confusing knowing and imposing.
Yes.
So we would like to visit this issue when we come back again. So we're going to take a short break. And we will be back, so please stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, and welcome back again to the intersection of faith and reason with our guest here, Dr. Jaafar Sheikh Idris. Dr. Jaafar, as we're talking about here about the issue of foreknowledge and predetermination or predestination, are you talking about the confusion that might have taken place between God knowing and God imposing? Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that some people refuse to accept the idea that God knows what will happen in the future, because that will mean that somehow they have no choice at that point.
And I tell them that there is no logical connection between the two, between knowing something and imposing it on someone. There is no, even in our worldly affairs, for example, a scientist who might tell us about the eclipse of the moon, say. Mm-hmm. This, you say, at such and such a time, the moon the sun, there will be an eclipse of the moon or the sun or so. We don't say that this was caused
by the statement of the scientists.
So knowing something before it happens is different from causing it to happen. They say, but in the case of God, it is He who causes things to happen. We say yes, but He causes them to happen according to what people intend. God does not hold anyone responsible for something about which He doesn't know anything, or something that He did not will to happen. Mm-hmm. But if He wills something to happen, it is natural for God to know what He is willing before it becomes the case. And the fact that God knew it will happen does not contradict the fact that that person intentionally made the action. His action was intentional, was willful. So there is no contradiction between the two. But many people, some very intelligent people, could not see this, could not reconcile these two.
Yeah. Sheikh, I think you alluded to this earlier when you were talking about the attributes of God being attributes of perfection, especially when it comes to His knowledge. I believe you said that His knowledge is neither preceded by ignorance, nor will it be followed by forgetfulness, as our knowledge is. And part of that perfection is He does not wait for things to happen to know about them.
No.
That would be imperfect on the part of...
And the important thing is that there is no contradiction between His knowing that it will happen and the fact that it will happen with the will of a human being, that God will allow it to happen, because nothing happens without, as we said, God's creation. You intend something to happen, God gives you the power to make it happen, and He makes you responsible for the action that you made. So there is no contradiction between the two.
Just being a devil's advocate here, and I can. I don't want to say sympathize, but I can see where this group might be coming from, in a sense that what happens if God has willed it or God knew about it, at that point there is nothing on my part that can be done, and therefore people would think that I am stripped out of my will at that point.
Well,
the idea is that if God knew about it before I have done it, the fact that God knew about it, did not impose on me, but the fact that God knew about it, it leaves me no other option, as ridiculous as it may sound, that no option is left but for me to carry out what God already knows.
Yes, this is the argument that some of them say. But when you say that God knew that it will happen, God's knowledge It's perfect. He knew that you will do it, and you will do it willfully. That you will do it willfully, He said. You are not going to change your mind. If He knew that you will change your mind, that will be part of His knowledge. He will know that you will think of doing something, then you will change your mind and do something else, and all this will be part of His knowledge. But the fact that He knew what you are going to do has nothing to do with your not being able to do otherwise. It has nothing to do with
Sheikh, what about and I think that is the question that will be posed, what about people who chose to believe or people who did not choose to believe, in a sense that were these people chosen by God or did they make their own choice?
According to the Quran, they made their own choice, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not hold a person responsible for something that he had no will to do.
Hmm.
No. And this is a very basic teaching of the Quran. A person is only responsible for something that he chose with his own clear knowledge and will. So if someone, and some of the non-Muslims, of course, made the argument that you made now, you must have read it in the Quran. They said, "Qulubuna ghulf," that Allah made our hearts covered in such a way that we can't listen, we can't accept. And then the Quran said, "Balla anhum Allah bikufrihim." You mean that the covering of the heart came as a result of the kufr, not the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
So a person, فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ. When they deviated, God made their hearts to deviate. So it is always because of the will of the human person. So no one, because God is fair, He is just, He will not punish someone for something which he never did. And this applies, and again, we talked a lot about Ibn Taymiyyah. He quoted about 8 verses in the Quran, which prove that no one goes to hell, until a prophet or someone who is a messenger of the prophet conveys the message to him, and he understands that message, and he refuses. كلما ألقي فيها فوج سألهم خزانته ألم يأتكم نذير قالوا بلى قد جاء النذير. Whenever any group of them is plunged into hellfire, the angels will ask them, "Didn't a nazir, someone, a warner, came to you?" They would say yes. So no one will go to hellfire. Who many people found this difficult to accept when I said it in one of my television interviews. I said that there are now people in the world who don't know about Islam. They don't know. So you can't call them kafirs, infidels, because to be a kafir is to deny. And you cannot deny something of which you have no knowledge.
Sure.
You have to know and then deny. So these people, and I was glad when I found that one of the big sheikhs said the same thing that I said, Sheikh Bin Baz. He was asked the same question, and he said that these people are neither Muslims nor kafirs. They are non-Muslims. They are not Muslims because they don't believe in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they are not kafirs because
they have not denied
the message. They haven't reached the message. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very fair. He will not hold someone responsible for something about which he knew nothing about, or about something who he was not willfully.
Sheikh, from what we have said, you keep referring back to the knowledge of God. And it seems to me like to you this idea truly revolves around God's perfect knowledge in the past, present, and in the future, with no implication or with no insinuation that anything is imposed upon humanity.
No. Some things are imposed on them, but they will not be held responsible for them. Okay. And Allah will not hold you responsible for the color that you have now. He will not hold you responsible for your size, unless you become too fat or something. That will be your responsibility. Allah will not hold a person responsible for the fact that he was born at such and such a time in such and such a place, and so on. So a person is held responsible only for the things that he willfully, knowingly does.
Mm-hmm. And that would be, and that would be where a person would be held accountable
yes.
for these types of choices.
Yes, and to say that he is held accountable does not mean that he will necessarily be punished, even if he does something wrong. If he does something good, he will definitely be rewarded because God is generous. He will reward him. But if he does something bad, then he might repent, and then God will accept his repentance. He might, yes, regret that he did this thing. He might do a good thing that wipes out the
poor choices that he's made.
Yes, and so on. So when we say, in principle, we say he is held responsible, but that doesn't mean that God will punish a person every time they make they commit a wrong.
And I'm thinking for the people who deny that they have a will. Earlier, you quoted the verse of people who act indecently, and then they say God has actually commanded us
yes.
of this. I yeah. wonder where do people stop if that is the case, where they would deny their own free will, and they say God just imposed
it. Yes, they say usually people do this, make this claim about the bad things that they do, not about the good things. No one would say, I did this good thing because Allah imposed this on me. But when they do bad things, they say, what I couldn't have done anything. This is Allah's will. It is true that it is Allah's will, because but Allah's will is related to also your own will.
Yeah. So, Sheikh, we would like to conclude with this, but there was a well-traveled American person that I know back in California, and he traveled vastly in the Muslim world, especially in the Arab world. And he picked up a lot of Arabic. He speaks Arabic at this point. And he made a statement and he said, you Muslims like to blame Allah for everything because of this idea of misunderstanding
yes.
of this qada and qadr. He said, you do the wrong and then you blame it on Allah. Mm-hmm. Sheikh Ja'far, as always, it has been a pleasure mm-hmm. having you mm-hmm. with us. And with this, we come to the conclusion of this part of our program. Hoping that you would join us next time. Until then, we say so long. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.